Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Gwala, happy preparation day to you, Nyawanta.
Thank you very much, sir. And I'm sure you also had some time to prepare for tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Or rather this evening.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And good evening to your listeners also.
Oh, thank you, Pastor, and welcome indeed. Well, we're concluding a conversation we started some 2 days ago, talking about the unity in the body of Christ, one of the very important, not much talked about, fundamental belief. I think it's also very important, especially in this day and age. Now, we are going to be talking about talking about Christ. You know, during his time on earth, Jesus' disciples missed out on all the important lessons, or almost all the important lessons we are trying to teach them, because they were too busy arguing who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, he gave us a living example of how to achieve a unity. Perhaps we're going to also get into that. So, Pastor, what example did Christ set for us with regards to unity, and how is the church working towards following that example set by Christ himself?
Thank you very much. I have some few examples that I'm going to cite this afternoon. Mm. The first one, the church at the time was racially divided.
Okay.
Jesus made inroads to other groups which were considered Gentiles and were not allowed to be part of the Christian group. Mm-hmm. And that community was the Samaritans.
Okay.
Community. Mm-hmm. And Jesus actually made inroads and went to a territory which the Israelites were not accepted or were not allowed to go to, mm-hmm. because of their understanding of the separation of those people. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Jesus told us, or he modeled, that there should be no culture that is left outside the community of believers. Mm. Therefore, that's the first thing, that we have different cultures, cultural groups, and therefore, because they are different, Jesus is saying the door is not shut to anyone. Let's open the door for all cultural groups so that we can be united in Christ.
Yep.
That's the first example, mm-hmm. of going out so that we can achieve the goal of being united. The second one, there were people who were sick. And those people who were sick were actually considered to be people that are not supposed to be healed, mm. because they belong outside the realm of Israel.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus did very important things. I'm going to just cite two.
Okay.
One of those, you would remember that there was a centurion who went to Jesus. Centurion, someone who comes from a Gentile community. And he went to Jesus and said, "My son is sick." And therefore, the disciples were actually expecting that Jesus is going to heal people within the fold. Mm. And Jesus actually healed someone outside, because he said to that man, "Go, your son is healed." Therefore, he was actually saying that we may be divided by the tag that I'm a Gentile, I'm not a Gentile, I'm a Jew, I'm a Greek, but all those tags, they are not depriving us an opportunity to witness to those who are not having the tag that we have.
Yeah.
Therefore, that's the second thing that is important, that Jesus' healing goes beyond the status of an individual, mm. or the culture of an individual, or even the label that an individual is given.
Mm.
Therefore, that's the second, which is very important. Now, you would also notice something very key, that women at the time of Jesus were not part of the community of believers. They were not even counted when we accounted people that were there. Therefore, Jesus, first of all, brought women closer to him. Wherever Jesus was going, there were always women that were closer to them and the disciples. Therefore, showing the disciples themselves, mm. that in him there is no differentiation, there is no woman, there is no man. Once we are together, we are united as the members of the body of Christ.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
Then the fourth one, Jesus was actually modeling to us that there are people whom we may label as sinners and therefore do not want to associate with them. A typical example is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and tax collectors were not accepted those days. They were people that were looked down upon, and they were seen as people who were corrupt in the day. But Jesus was actually teaching the disciples that you don't judge a book by its cover.
Mm.
Go out, call people in, let them be united with the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is not only made up of saints. It is made up of people that are coming from various walks of life, and it serves as a hospital that heals them for the kingdom. Therefore, Jesus was actually sharing very important thoughts and aspects with us as he was modeling this type of unity. He even went, the fifth one, he even went to the leaders of Israel those days, calling them. One of them, if you would remember very well, in John 3:3, Nicodemus.
Oh,
Nicodemus belonged, he belonged to a group of leaders in Israel who were not a part of the Christian journey. And Jesus was actually saying, everyone is supposed to be in this umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore he went there, and the man considered that, man, I need to be part of this so that I can experience this unity in Christ. Therefore, Jesus was actually saying, everybody who lives on this earth deserves a chance to be embraced and be united in Christ.
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's actually a very lofty example. I mean, you know, quite extensive as well, to you know, the extent he went to achieve this. So has the church reached that standard, Pastor, that Christ would desire for us? I mean, if so, what areas and in what ways do you believe we can improve, if not?
I think, to be honest with you, this is an area where we are struggling as a church.
Mm-hmm.
We are struggling particularly to unite the cultures which we are working around.
Mm-hmm.
It's one area that we are stuck at. And I'm going to give you a typical example. The typical example of this is that we have a difficult discussion on the issue of ordination of women.
Yes,
and that,
yes.
That difficulty is not caused by the Bible, and it is not caused by the interpretation that we have on the Bible. That issue is actually caused by our cultural understanding and our cultural interpretations. And therefore, culture sometimes comes into the church, and that culture divides us. Because we have not learned to live above the cultures that we're working with. Therefore, that's problem number one that we need to look at. Problem number two is that in the Adventist church, when it comes to leadership, if there's one thing that always divides us, it is the election of leaders in the church. And when that takes place, in as much as we believe that that process is led by the Spirit, but you would notice that people immediately stick to their preferences.
True.
And if their preferences have not survived, those people go back to the drawing board, start working against the one that is there, because they would like their preference to be there one day.
Mm.
Therefore, another aspect that is killing us here is that. And the third one that is also killing us, which I want to look at, is the issue of a unity in what we believe.
Mm.
And that is causing a problem, because you would know that the church has gone through phases where people are challenging some of the key beliefs that we have as a church.
Mm.
I'm going to make an example. The first one is the deity of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It has been challenged throughout by many, by some people.
Mm-hmm.
The deity of Christ has been challenged by many people.
Mm.
And you would also notice that the SOP has been challenged by many people.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore,
mm-hmm.
there are so many things that have been challenged. And therefore, your question then is, if there are those things, how can we then improve? Then the first thing that I think we should do as a church is education. We need to be educated that one, culture does not supersede unity.
True.
Therefore, we need to have education. Therefore, our leaders have a responsibility to educate churches, church members, and even employees so that we can be on the same page.
Mm.
The second one that is important is that we need to be taught that this church does not belong to us as individuals.
Yes, yes,
it
yes.
It's a church that belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
And if it belongs to God, let's allow God to unfold processes for us.
Yeah.
If my preference has not seen the light of the day,
mm.
it does not mean that God has not led the church.
True.
It just means that for now, my candidate has not been accepted there.
True.
And therefore, if my candidate has not featured, it simply means that mine is to support the one that is there and carry forward the work of God instead of working against the work of God. Therefore, we need that education again, that the Holy Spirit leads the church and that we are the beneficiaries of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It is not us that are leading the church.
Yeah, a very important. Yeah, very, very, very important. I think that's quite important, Pastor, because you see a lot of politicking. But today, not only, by the way, in the Adventist Church, I think across many churches, you know, many denominations, politicking has become at the center. I mean, you see churches taking each other, church members taking each other to court simply on the question of leadership. I could mention many, many denominations that this is happening at. And this is compromising unity, as you put it. And so I'm glad that you're bringing that point across so that we know that the one who leads the church is, you know, God himself.
I normally say we do not have a deputy Jesus.
Yeah.
It is Jesus who died for the church, not me. When the church makes a decision, I may not like that decision.
Mm.
But it doesn't mean that my conviction is correct either.
Yeah.
But the fact that I don't like the decision, the church is bigger than an individual.
Mm.
Until we learn that we are not bigger than the church is bigger than us. That's why we need to be united in the church, not people that want to unite the church and they are outside the unity themselves.
Yeah. Well, Pastor, I think that that is where we can end it. It's been a beautiful time, a beautiful 3 days. I don't know if you perhaps have just a point or two of emphasis in this whole subject of the unity in Christ, just for the listener to have a take home, especially those who may not have joined us all of the days.
Thank you very much for that. The first thing is that Jesus told the whole world that the only thing that people will see there that we are followers of Jesus, it's when we are united. Therefore, unity is a proof out there that we are followers of Jesus. And disunity is a proof there that we are following a fake Jesus. Therefore, that's the first thing that I want to say to everyone. Let's do a favor to ourselves. Let's keep the unity, because it's a sign that Christ left on this earth, that when people see unity in us, they are going to see us as his followers.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second one, the second thing is that we must learn that the church is bigger than us.
True.
And because the church is bigger than us, it is always our responsibility to align ourselves with the church, not the church aligning itself with us.
Yeah.
Because the church is bigger than us. And therefore, that to me is a punchline.
Because
if I do not agree with a certain point, the church is bigger than me. If the church is wrong, in the long run, God will help the church to self-correct.
Mm-hmm.
The church doesn't need me to actually force it to change its way.
Yeah.
God has his own way of looking at things and correcting the things. Now, I want to say to the listeners who are here today, unity is very key. And secondly, acknowledging that the church is bigger than us is also key. I think those are my two parting words with the listeners today.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Pastor Gwala, thank you so, so much for making time for us this week and for emphasizing on these very, very important, especially that we've all got to realize that the church is bigger than any one of us. Thank you so much for joining us and happy Sabbath to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Say happy Sabbath to you and happy Sabbath to the listeners. And hopefully, as we worship tomorrow, we will have this big picture of a united church when Christ comes again.
Okay. Thank you so much, my pastor. Blessings.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.